Hi, and welcome to The Missing Middle. I'm Kara Stern.
And I'm Mike Moffitt.
And we wanted to talk today about parking minimums, because it's one of those things that when I learned about it, I was really surprised to hear that it existed. So I thought, it never seemed to me like something that needed to be regulated. But then I understand that the government will tell developers, this is how much parking needs to go with every spot. Sometimes I understand it's like, it might be one per unit or two per unit, depending on where it is. And it's quite widespread across North America, although we are seeing cities pull back on them. So I wanted to start out with, like, how did they get so widespread in the first place?
Yeah, so I think they were designed to address what at least was a perceived problem. So when we look at parking minimums, it doesn't just cover residential, but it's also, you know, industrial and retail and commercial. And the concerns were that if you didn't regulate this, that developers wouldn't build enough parking and, you know, people would end up parking on the street or maybe parking in somebody else's parking lot, and it would just be chaos. Or at least that was, you know, the thinking of urban planners in the 40s, 50s, and 60s. You know, there's all these conspiracy theories that it was, you know, the car companies had gotten to governments to put this in to try and sell more cars. I don't really think there's any truth to that. I don't think it needs to be a conspiracy. I think it was just, you know, the sort of car-centric design of the last, you know, near century or so. But that was basically the problem it was designed to put in place, that they were concerned that people would want to drive, people would show up to places and have nowhere to park, and it would just cause a bunch of chaos. So let's just put it into law saying, okay, you have to build so many spots here and so many spots there.
Do we know, like, how many spots is normal in Canada?
Well, so this is this thing that, like any kind of urban planning, it's just a mess, a web of rules, depending on, you know, the type of home, again, industrial places, commercial places, and so on. So it's like, okay, if, you know, you've got a fast food restaurant and it occupies so much space, you need to have so many parking spots. And oftentimes that the governments will use this as a negotiating tool. So let's say you put in a bylaw, or you put in the zoning act, that you need to have all of these parking spots in order to have this fast food restaurant or apartment building or so on. And what will happen is the developer will say, well, look, I don't really need that many and it's going to cost me a bunch, so can I have a reduction? And then this allows the city to say, okay, well, we'll give you a reduction, but you have to give us this parkland or have a, you know, certain number of affordable units or so on. So it's created this incentive for cities to go kind of hog wild on these parking minimums, you know, have these really expansive rules that they can then use as a negotiating chip to developers and get something in return for being able to put in less parking.
The arguments I've heard in favor of keeping them is that people still need cars. And I keep being like, well, yeah, but the market will solve that. If people won't buy them without parking spots, they won't build them without parking spots. But then what I've also heard is that developers also want to build as much as they can to optimize their profits. And if they can avoid parking spots, they will. And so given that there's such low vacancy in the market, that people don't actually have a choice here. They won't be able to just not buy the home because it doesn't have a parking spot. What do you think of that?
Yeah, so we're starting to see, you know, all across North America, sort of a scale back of these rules, because these parking spots are exceptionally expensive. You know, they can go into the six figures, $100,000 or so. So we've seen a lot of cities, you know, Edmonton being one that really scaled back on parking, parking minimums. Minnesota has a proposed rule called the People Over Parking Act that would just abolish it statewide. Just and not just on residential, but commercial, industrial, and so on. And to answer that question, that yes, actually, you would probably see developers scale back, because instead of building those parking spots, they could build more housing and more units. So what you're basically allowing developers to do is to figure out what is most profitable for them. And they're going to, you know, they're absolutely going to do what's most profitable. But it turns out what's most profitable likely is going to be building more homes and building less parking. And there's a trade-off here that yes, you know, you would like to, you know, all else being equal, you'd like to have lots of both. But, you know, we can't have everything. Land is really expensive. So it kind of makes sense to say, okay, let's optimize this use of the land, and we're better off building more apartment units and fewer parking than we should be allowed to do that. And we certainly shouldn't have the government saying, not like, no, you can't build an extra 10 apartment units because I need a place to put my Tesla. You know, that just seems very, very regressive.
Yeah, I was surprised to know that it still existed until not that long ago in Toronto, where even like if you were building a condo in that area downtown where there's like a tons of condos, like really close to either Exhibition, GO Station, Union Station, that you still had to have parking minimums. And I was like, even for below market units, and apparently they had to do it for those too. I don't know, understand why that lasted so long.
Well, it's a couple of things. So partly, again, is out of these real concerns. Developers won't put enough parking in, and it'll just call us parking chaos and that kind of thing. But it's also, again, a bargaining chip for cities, but it causes these perverse incentives. So here in the city of Ottawa, there was an affordable housing project going out on an LRT line. So this is, you know, on a transit line and a project, you know, designed for low income people. And they're saying like, no, you gotta have so many spots to park your car. Which doesn't make much sense. But yeah, it's this issue with incentives. And this is actually probably going to be an even larger issue. So we know that the National Housing Accord, you know, we've got the federal government signing all these deals with municipalities. And one of the things that the federal government is putting in is that you have to be able to build fourplexes as of right. So I think you can kind of see where I'm going with this, that, you know, a city, let's say a city wants the money from the federal government, but doesn't actually want fourplexes to be built. What they could do is say, okay, fine, we'll legalize fourplexes, but every unit has to have a parking spot. Well, it just becomes uneconomical to build at that point where you've got all these great plots of land and you literally can't fit in four cars plus the actual fourplex.
Could the federal government change that?
Well, it could. And I actually think they probably, in retrospect, should have put in stricter rules in the housing accord around parking minimums. Because I do think cities who, again, want the money but don't necessarily want fourplexes could use parking minimums as a way to have the best of both worlds, where, you know, they don't ban fourplexes, they just kind of regulate them out of existence using parking minimums as a tool.
Okay, I wonder if there's any appetite for the federal government to just like to ban them nationwide. Any idea?
Well, it certainly could. Well, it's a little tough. So they can't, you know, just ban it nationwide. It'd be hard to do, but they could put it as part of the housing accelerator, right? If they have a housing accelerator 2.0. Or the federal government gives money to municipalities for infrastructure, you know, as part of the gas tax for transit and so on. And we had just recently all the big mayors in Canada meeting at the Federation of Canadian Municipalities meeting, asking the federal government for more infrastructure money. Well, there could be, if the federal government really wanted to ban parking minimums, that would be a good way of doing it. Say, okay, you know what? We will boost your infrastructure funding by 10% or whatever. But in return, here's our wish list. And I suspect they'd get it. Now, whether or not the federal government actually wants to do that, I think is an open question. But it certainly, you know, it can do these things indirectly, even if it doesn't have constitutional authority to do them directly.
I could see the headlines of people complaining that if that happened, that this would be part of the war on cars. Is that something that is there any way to get around that narrative?
Yeah, well, so there's a challenge here in abolishing these rules, both on the left and on the right. So You know, the left might see it as basically just a deregulation agenda of going, okay, well, now you're just letting greedy rich developers do whatever they want. And you're just going to make them richer and they're not going to do the socially responsible thing. So we've got to mandate these parking minimums. But on the right, you do see the potential for this culture war type thing where we're going, oh, okay, well, the only reason we're banning these parking minimums is part of the war on the car. So we need to, we need to push back on that. But, I think we can frame it, just like your YouTube shorts recently framed it, that I think we can look at it at the opposite lens, that I do think there is a grand coalition we can put together here where the left says, okay, you know what, this is all about promoting other forms of transportation, and actually the right could see it as part of a deregulation agenda. But it really is a two-sided coin, and if you want to support these rules, you can find reasons to do so. If you want to oppose them, it doesn't matter where you are in the spectrum, you can find a creative way to be against these things.
Yeah, when I think about friends looking to buy homes, if they could cut off, $75,000, $100,000 off the cost of their home, like, they'd be in a much better position. My home doesn't have any, as like one parking spot to share with an extra neighbor. Like, we just don't have parking. And I know that it probably would have been out of my price range if it did have a parking spot. So like the thought that they will keep those mandated when it affects the price of housing so much, like, it's something that can make a really big difference to people's finances. So I think it's something that people should really think about how, when we're thinking of creative ways to lower the cost of housing, right?
Yeah, absolutely. And I think this, should be, letting the market choose and letting individuals choose their lifestyle. If you want to, have a two-car garage and live out in the suburbs, you should be allowed to do so, right? You just, as long as you're sort of paying the infrastructure costs for that. Similarly, like, if you want to, be in a location with great transit, take the occasional Uber, take the occasional rideshare, but otherwise, have a car-free lifestyle, you should be allowed to do that. And you certainly shouldn't have to pay for a parking spot that you don't want and don't need. And again, when we're looking at the cost of urban land, we're looking at a six-figure cost. Like, why force somebody to, who wants to live in a downtown condo, why force them to pay an extra $100,000 or more for a parking spot they don't want?
Especially when you're trying to get people to live more in more dense areas for climate change purposes too, right?
Well, yeah, exactly. So first of all, you are, it does kind of go against what we're trying to do on climate change, but also it feels like weirdly paternalistic to tell people like, no, you have to have a parking spot for your condo, whether or not you want one. So, I think those of us who, are kind of like on the live and let live kind of spectrum, I think we should allow people to make the choices that work for them. Again, so long as they're paying the full cost. And I don't think it makes sense for the government to be requiring people to own a parking spot if they have no intention of using it.
Thanks everyone for watching and listening. And thanks as always to our producer, Meredith Martin.
And please like, subscribe, or leave a comment. We'd love to hear from you.
And we'll see you next time.